This is the PMC Podcast with Kristen Brandt and Bill Alfano. On today's episode, we welcome Justine Darmanian, manager of Kids Rides for the PMC. Now, here's Kristen Brandt and Bill Alfano.
This is Kristen Brandt, and you're listening to the PMC Podcast. I am here with my co-host, Bill Alfano.
Hello, Kristen.
Hello. And we are welcoming Justine, the manager of Kids Rides and Volunteer Operations.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. All right, so let's start by talking about, it's going to sound, what are Kids Rides? But
so PMC Kids Rides are basically the next generation of the PMC.
Right, because we have kids, so basically organized rides for children. How old are the children?
Children are typically 2 to 15. Does depend on the actual ride itself, but our average age is around 6 or 7.
Okay, and they're rides that happen in towns in Massachusetts primarily and throughout New England, right?
Yep.
And they're not all, like, when we talk about the PMC, we're talking about PMC weekend. But PMC kids rides happen
in other parts. Yeah. So our season is May, June, and September, which is really great. So it's, you know, spreading the PMC calendar even more and different ways for people to get involved in the PMC throughout the year.
So somebody comes to you and they say, I want to organize a kids ride, right? How does that happen?
Yeah.
What do we do?
So the biggest thing is that all of our kids ride coordinators are volunteers, which is really incredible that they take the time to work year-round to plan a ride in their town. If someone's coming to me, I prep them, we have a nice phone call. I go over probably way too much information, just so they can really know the ins and outs.
Really know if they want to
exactly,
do it.
Yeah.
Like, if I haven't overwhelmed you, then you're ready.
but basically, they need to work with their town, their police, a site. They need to find a site. And then I kind of help them in that process. Every town is a little bit different, so it definitely varies by town. But I give them the tools and to set them up for success. And, every conversation's a little bit different depending on the town, but it's really great.
What, when people do reach out to you, what are some of the reasons they're doing that?
Sure. A lot of people are doing it because them themselves have been affected or someone in their town has been affected. So many rides have unfortunately been started because a child in the town was going through treatment. Mm-hmm. And what has been really great to see with the Kids Ride program is that how much a town will rally behind a child that's going through treatment. We have, rides that have teams of 100 or more kids that are riding in honor or in memory of kids in their town.
So let's break down some facts. How many kids rides are there or were there, say, last year?
Yeah, in 2019, we had 25 kids rides.
Wow. Yeah. And how many kids participated in
those rides? We had 4,700. So
4,700.
A lot of kids. Yeah.
And what's the average distance?
Typically, it's like a mile to a mile and a half. A lot of our rides are held at schools or an office park. So you kind of just depends on where your ride's held to kind of determine
how many times you want to go around that parking lot.
Some rides, you can go around like the school around a parking lot. Some rides actually go off site. There's different, certainly more logistical things that come into play. But, we've had some rides that have been 10 miles, which have been really cool.
I was going to say, I know as a parent, the kids' rides are very, I love the idea of getting the kids involved. Sometimes they're super short, mm-hmm. a mile, but you have a teenager. So I have always wondered, do they have some longer rides, a 10 mile or a 5 mile or something like that?
Yeah. So again, it definitely varies depending on the ride. Coordinators really try to maximize, how many kids that they can impact and, trying to get all ranges. If, for some reason a ride doesn't have a route that might fit, with a teenager, they're always encouraged to help volunteer. So they can still, get involved one way or another.
How much, is it a fundraising with kids or is it just a flat fee? The kids pay a fee or do they
So it's both. So they pay a registration fee and the registration fee does vary depending on the ride. But the fundraising, there is a fundraising commitment per child. So there's a registration fee as well per child. And then the fundraising commitment is $35 for the 2020 year per child. And spring rides have until September to fundraise. Fall rides have until October to fundraise. We set riders up for success with they get their own profile page, much like a PMC profile page where they can put a photo. They can
really.
Yeah. So it's really, the parents are the ones that are managing it.
Yeah,
but they can work with the kids.
COPPA rules, man.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, and the kids can send it out online. A lot of kids will also do, you know, like lemonade stands, bake sales. And it's really fun to see those photos come in. And like sometimes kids will show up with like all this change to a ride and they're just like put it on the table and they're just so proud. So, you know, it's we're really trying to show kids, you know, like the value of giving back. And, you know, the riding's great, but the fundraising is why we're here. So and it's really been amazing to see kids, you know, really click and get that.
And Justine, do you want to talk about what the number was from 2019 raised and what you're looking for for 2020?
So raised in 2019, we hit over $1 million, which was a first ever for the Kids Ride program, which was really exciting. Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, I know. I saw the numbers coming in.
That is
in
a lot of nickels,
it
man.
It is. But I saw the numbers coming in and I was like, wait, there's no way that we're like close to $1 million. And then we like surpassed $1 million. So it's not like we just hit $1 million and $1. We surpassed it. So it's really was a great accomplishment and milestone for the program. And and so this year our goal is $1.3 million. So, you know, I have faith that we'll be able to do it. But, you know, it's, you know, we rely a lot on our volunteer coordinators to help spread the word and of all of our riders and parents to continue to fundraise.
So, for the volunteer coordinators, I have so many questions.
You want to do one?
No. believe me, I've thought about it. Like, I was like, oh, I could. How many hours do you think they have to, like, really contribute, like, to really pull off a ride? Because you just talked about it. You have to fire and safety and, you know.
So, it's honest. I don't know if I have a true number because I have some rides.
Yeah.
I have some rides that probably spend maybe like 50 hours a year. Wow. I have some rides that probably spend thousands. You know, like it really just depends. I mean, you know, a successful ride, it has someone that's working on it year round. That doesn't mean that it's every single day that they're working on it. But, you know, they're being available. They're being communicated, like communicating with riders, sponsors, volunteers, you know, and a successful ride does have a committee of people that, and I always suggest that, you know, setting up a committee. So find your friends, neighbors, and, you know, and then they can expand to their network. So one, you're getting more people that are aware of the ride, but two, you're also having your support network. So you have a good succession of the ride, and you can delegate tasks. So
How many, is there anything that, you know, reflecting back on these rides that has surprised you about them?
Nothing that like the one like line, corny line that I have with the Kids Ride program is that
gimme,
you know, it's a program. So our rides are all very similar, but it's great to see they're all also very unique because of the different flair and the, you know, that the town and the coordinator bring. So, you know, I've seen what have surprised me, though, is like just to see like how much a town can really rally. Like, you know, it's incredible to see like hundreds of kids come out in support of one child and for them to actually understand it. And not that I doubted that that was ever going to happen, but it's just incredible to actually see like firsthand.
I mean, I know, you know, not to get on like a soapbox or anything, but it's easy, I think, for us to sometimes be like, oh, that generation or the next, you know, and whatever, like every generation's annoying, right? Like every generation's annoying to the other generations. Yeah. But like to see stuff like that, to see them do incredible things, right? Makes you, I don't know, it just fills me with hope.
Well, and I mean, we've also are now starting to see, you know, some of our kids' rides that have started out when the program first began in 2005 that are now becoming active in the PMC. And the goal of the kids' ride program is that, again, you know, they're the next generation. So whether that means, you know, they start off with a kids' ride, then they volunteer at the kids' ride, and then they go to the 25-50 Sunday PMC ride and then do the big ride or volunteer at the big ride. We've started to see that, which is really amazing. And, you know, we're slowly trying to get together those stats to really, you know, put a number on that. But it's great to actually see it starting to happen.
Well, and I mean, what you're ultimately doing, too, is you're getting more kids on bikes. You're getting more adults on bikes. You're getting, you know, at a time when, you know, there's declines in so many other sports and other things, like you're basically helping build the industry or keep the industry going. You know, these impacts are far ranging and setting them up for a lifetime of fitness too. I mean, you know, having kids understand the value of fitness, the value of their time, the value of giving back. Like, there's so much that's kind of wrapped up into the idea of like putting some kids on bikes to raise money for cancer.
What are you hearing back from, like, for, especially first time or second year even coordinators? What are their biggest like takeaways or surprises or like things that they just love that they weren't maybe expecting out of their early kids rides?
I think they just find like a bigger place in the community. I mean, so many people have been like, I didn't know so-and-so and he helped out the kids ride and he's actually my neighbor. And, you know, like they're starting to build relationships all surrounding, you know, because they want to make a difference in the fight against cancer. And I think that they also, a lot of them have kids themselves. So they're liking the fact that they're able to do something with their kids and to firsthand show them like, hey, I'm doing this and this is why you should be doing this too.
You can be part of it. Or as you said, if you have a neighbor who's fighting cancer or a family member, you know, I know that like when we had my father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, my daughter immediately said, well, you can never quit the PMC. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, it's, you know, it's just something really nice when I see kids rides programs about, it's nice for those families to know they're not alone in their community. Right. I mean, I know that's a message you push out all the time.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, they have the PMC community. I mean, so many people find, in so many different ways, how the PMC community is there for them. And that's firsthand an example of them being able to see it in its full force.
The PMC podcast is supported by Sundance Sports Marketing, putting your ideas into action at sundancesports.com.
So you made it really clear that it's volunteer coordinators who run the events, right? So
volunteer.
So, you know, for the audience that's listening, maybe what would be helpful also is to talk about if you are potentially thinking about starting a ride in your town. Yes, you have to be a volunteer coordinator, but what resources do you, as the PMC, give them to support them so they're not really just stranded on an island?
So we set up each ride with its own ride page where they can direct riders and parents and volunteers to register, to make donations. We also provide each rider with a t-shirt and a little goodie bag. And that does change, you know, depending on our different sponsors for the year. We also do provide, you know, tables, chairs, tents, cones, what we use, PMC, you name it, we can use that at PMC Kids Ride. So, you know, you should see our office in, you know, May, June. Kids Rides are coming in and out, grabbing their supplies, grabbing their t-shirts. You know, we provide tools to help with day of registration, check-in, everything like that. So, and also, I'm here, so I'm your support as well.
It is in your title, Kids Rides and Volunteer Operation.
And, you know, we do a kickoff meeting. We do a wrap-up, you know, evening. And, you know, definitely Kids Ride coordinators are connected with each other. So it's a great opportunity for people to bounce ideas off of each other. And we just provide a lot of resources.
And do you do anything resource-wise related to safety and training, just kind of like, because you're dealing with kids and families, and, you know, I know there's a lot of concerns with that.
I mean, first and foremost, you know, especially when a kids ride, a coordinator is planning their ride, you know, they need to get their route checked out by the police department, which is great because, especially as a new coordinator, you might not know, you know, what might be the best route. And, you know, odds are that an event has happened in the same area that you're trying to hold it. And so that's where the police in town are super helpful to try to determine what the best route is. The police will also let you know if they need to be on site. Most rides do have a police officer on site. Every ride does have a first aid area where we need, you know, a nurse, EMT, doctor on site. We do have a really funny, and I wish this was a video so I could show you it, but a really funny helmet safety diagram that the helmet's on like all different ways. So kids can have, you know, kids are very visual. So it's a very easy way. Hey, this is the right way.
Well, some and parents. Exactly. I mean, like you get the helmet that's like, I actually met, I was mountain biking and I met a dad and a daughter and I was like, I just walked up to her and I just went,
I wish everyone could see you doing the air helmet right
they
now.
They just fall because it slips back and your forehead is
if you
all
got a girl
explode.
With a bun too, like,
it's a mess. And the dad was like, thank you. Thank you, random stranger in the woods.
No, it's, I mean, you know, It's definitely something I've seen my fair share of bad helmets, but I've also seen, you know, a lot of, you know, this is a great opportunity to teach helmet safety. A lot of our rides actually do have like a helmet check area. Some have incorporated, you know, you get a little raffle ticket if, you know, you get your helmet checked by the police department.
Oh, I love that.
So that's another great way to have the police involved. And then we always make sure that, you know, that there are volunteer out on the route. So whether that be they're physically riding with the kids or that they're just stationed. So there's always that support to make sure that the ride is as safe as possible.
I'd love to ask both of you this question. I don't know if it'll make it into our podcast, but what do you guys see more of? And is there a recommendation that you've heard between balance bike or training wheels as far as
how old is your daughter?
Yeah. Three and a half.
You probably have more, but go for it.
I was going to say, I mean, I think that the balance bike is genius.
Yeah.
And we were, our kids are teenagers, so we missed the balance bike. Mm-hmm. I think they're just, if you get the pedals out of the way and you can just let them find that center point.
Right.
Now, this is where I tell you a story about how my husband used to work at farmers markets, and he had a woman come up to him at a farmer market with a balance bike.
Sure.
And he's like, he's going too fast. I need you to put brakes on it. And my husband was like, now it's time for pedals.
That's right. That's right.
That's not how that works.
That's right.
But yeah, that's my opinion. Yeah. I don't know.
I would say I've seen a lot of balance bikes. It actually, one of the coolest things, because I go to most of the rides, is to see the cool, like, helmet and bike trends. Like past couple years, the thick tires have been really in, and for a while, like the helmets with the spikes like the princess helmet, like there, that has been my favorite part. Sure. Is just to see the cool trends. But I think actually balance bikes are very helpful. I don't have kids, but I've heard that from numerous amounts of parents.
Yeah. I would say actually my son, and it's totally out of track now, but he tried a bike, yep. You know, had a lot of trouble with it, wouldn't ride it, which for someone whose father's a bike mechanic was like heartbreaking. Yeah. But then he got a scooter, and something about that just, it's kind of the same.
Yeah,
it shows him how the balance worked.
Right.
And then when he went back to the scooters. Bike. Yeah. When he went back to the bike, he figured out that pivot point.
Yeah.
And then it was fine.
Yeah, that was a little selfish question, but I thought it was good for everybody, too.
No, it's really good.
And let it be known that Bill's daughter has signed up for a kids' ride last year.
Yep.
It rained, so she didn't get quite
on
her
bike. She had a balance bike,
but she was ready.
Yeah,
she fundraised. She did a great job fundraising.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I love seeing all these kids on bikes. I love that you're getting helmets on them. Mm-hmm. I love that they're learning the basics of bike safety.
Yeah.
Love that you're getting the community involved. They're just... Love. Love it all. So on the safety thing, are there background checks? Like, do you do anything with like Corys and Sorys and, you know, for the volunteers to make sure they're...
Yeah. For all of our coordinators who have access to back end tools.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, they can send out emails. They get, you know, they're all Cory, Sory. And then we have another agreement. So we've gone through a bunch of different steps to make sure, you know, safety in all forms.
I figured you'd have the right answer to that.
Check.
Well, that's great. So you said the rides start when?
The first ride is the first weekend in May this year.
Okay.
And so they go May, June, and then we take a break, shift to PMC, and we shift back in September. We have a few rides.
And where do people find out where the current rides are or how to volunteer?
Yeah, where do they find it out?
Where do they find that information?
Kids.pmc.org. KIDS PMC ORG.
So I'm assuming, I know this, but I'm assuming like PMC, like Winter Cycle, sponsors play a big role. Who are your big sponsors?
Yes, they definitely do. Our presenting sponsor is the Yawkey Foundations. They have been a sponsor for a number of years, and they have been really key in helping us be able to put on our program every year.
Well, thank you again, Justine, for coming in. For show notes and links from this episode, you can go to pmc.org. If you like our show, please help spread the word. Tell three friends. Leave a review for us on iTunes. And thanks for listening.
Have a good